Hi, I'm Philip Anthony Albertelli, and this is The Week in Doubt, episode 57. Today's episode is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/theweekindoubt. Over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. Before we get started, I'd like to thank Bob McBride for liking the Week in Doubt Facebook page. I'd also like to thank my good friend Shelby, both for liking the Week in Doubt FB page and also for all of her much appreciated advice. Thank you, Shelby. All right. So I hope you all got a chance to listen to episode 56, Interview with an Atheist. As the title implies, it was an interview show. It was my first time conducting an interview, and my guest was the illustrious Chris Weber, the host of C-Web Sunday School. I really enjoyed the experience, and I found it really interesting how the interview format added a whole new dynamic to the show. I thought there were a couple of particularly poignant moments when Chris and I were discussing our personal experiences, our struggles with faith or the lack thereof, and how we came to be non-believers. If you missed the interview and you want to check it out, you can find it on either iTunes or Podbean. I also upped a version of it to YouTube. And once again, that was episode 56, Interview with an Atheist. And I'd like to offer my sincere thanks to Chris again for taking part. You can find Chris's podcast, C-Web Sunday School, on iTunes as well. I really enjoyed it, and I plan on doing more interviews in the future. One of the things we discussed during the interview was our duty to our audience and how it's important to correct ourselves when we get our facts wrong. So following in that spirit, I'd like to make some corrections regarding some things I said during the interview. Well, first up, it wasn't too far into the interview when I said somewhat sarcastically or half-jokingly that Christian fundamentalists believe Jesus walked side by side with dinosaurs. I was listening back and I thought, people might actually believe I meant that. It's not that creationists necessarily think Jesus coexisted side by side with dinosaurs, although some might, who knows. What they tend to believe, and this is what the infamous young earth creationist Ken Ham teaches, is that the world is only about 6,000 years old, when of course modern science tells us that the earth alone has been around for about 4.5 billion years. They also believe that the events of Noah and the flood took place around 4,500 years ago, and that there were dinosaurs on the ark along with the other animals. They also believe there were dinosaurs in Eden that coexisted harmoniously with Adam and Eve until after the fall in the garden. According to this rather bizarre narrative, most dinosaurs had died out by the time of Jesus. But Ken Ham says, and I'm paraphrasing, that he wouldn't be surprised if there were still some stragglers around. Just recounting the young earth creationist narrative makes me feel like my IQ has dropped a couple of points. But anyway, upward and onward. I also think during our back and forth, I said Jesus rose after 3 days when semantically it probably would have been more appropriate to say he rose on the third day. Hopefully my attention to minutiae doesn't seem too neurotic. Okay, what else? Oh yeah, near the end of the conversation, Chris and I were talking about the evolution of the concept of hell. Granted, it was during a kind of impromptu conversation, but I still thought I did kind of a sloppy job of expressing myself. I was talking about how we don't really find the concept of hell in the Hebrew Bible. There's a place called Sheol, not a place of punishment, but a place where the dead are depicted as sleeping. And then there's Daniel 12:2. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Not necessarily strong evidence of hell, in my opinion. And then there's Gehenna, which Chris and I were discussing. I made it sound as if Gehenna is only found in the New Testament, when there's actually mention of it in the Old Testament as well. In the New Testament, and apparently according to biblical historians and archaeologists, Gehenna was this kind of ancient trash pit where fires were always burning and creepy crawlies were breaking down carrion, etc. And I think in the Old Testament, it was considered this loathsome place of human sacrifice. In the New Testament, it seems to be used as a metaphor for something like hell. In the ham-handed way I explained it, I may have made it sound as if Sheol and Gehenna blossomed into something like Greek Hades, when what I meant was that the Christian concept of hell would become influenced by pagan Greco-Roman ideas of the underworld. I believe the word hell is actually borrowed from the Old English via Nordic languages. Hell, with one L in Norse mythology, was the name of both the underworld and the goddess who presided over it. Okay, one last correction. In passing, I accidentally referred to the Egyptian weighing of the heart ceremony as the weighing of the scales. Once again, minutia. Now that I'm done with my neurotic need to correct myself, I'd like to move on to a news story. So this is one of those rare cases when I'm actually going to defend the believer. If you're a political news junkie like me, then you might have heard of a recent news story concerning Senate GOP leader Mitch McConnell and actress Ashley Judd. No, they didn't have an affair. That would just be weird and gross. Ashley Judd had supposedly been considering running against McConnell in Kentucky's 2014 Senate race. McConnell, and I think Karl Rove's group may have been involved as well, released a kind of nasty ad against her before she even announced whether or not she was going to run. She released a statement saying she wouldn't be running. And not long after, Mother Jones, an online news site, released some audio they had acquired that reveals McConnell and a room full of strategists discussing how they could discredit Judd by using emotional issues from her distant past against her, and then they proceed to mock her religious convictions. And actually, I'll play that clip now.
Religious beliefs shown here in this YouTube video, a bit unorthodox for Kentucky, theorize McConnell's aides.
I enjoy Native faith practices and have a very nature-based God concept. I like to think I'm like St. Francis in that way, brother donkey, sister bird.
Brother, yeah, they are one so far. Absolutely, they
are one so far. Is it fair game for you?
I know the audio is kind of poor quality. You might actually do better finding a version online that has the transcript as well. So they're all having a ball laughing at her, but it turns out the brother donkey, sister bird thing, those are actually references to Saint Francis of Assisi, the patron saint of animals. Saint Francis, who, even as a non-believer, I still hold some affection for, used to refer to his body as Brother Donkey and used to preach the animals, including the birds, who he would refer to as his sisters. So we have a room full of what I imagine are conservative Christians mocking a woman for making sincere references to a Catholic saint. Kind of ugly stuff. Hopefully I don't sound like that when I make fun of believers. Maybe it's just the hypocrisy or the mean-spiritedness that bothers me. They probably thought it was some hippy-dippy New Age nature thing, but no, St. Francis. Oh, believe it or not, there was another story I wanted to cover in which I will yet again defend a believer. Kind of. I guess this story goes back to fall 2012, but it's new to me. Brandon Flowers, the lead singer of The Killers, was on a Swedish TV show, and while he was still sitting with the panel, they brought Richard Dawkins out. Well, it turns out Brandon Flowers is a devout Mormon, which came as kind of a shock to me. I've long been a fan of The Killers. I like alternative music, and I like Joy Division and New Order, bands which I think had some influence on The Killers. The Killers have done a Joy Division cover, and supposedly they got their name from a fictional band in a New Order video. I guess I just never imagined that their singer would be a devout Mormon for some reason. It kind of reminds me of when I first found out that Beck was a Scientologist. I find myself reevaluating my opinion of the person. I guess the common sense response would be, hey, if you like their music, who cares what religion they are? And I certainly don't want to seem like I'm being bigoted or close-minded. I guess I just like to think of creative people as free thinkers. It's hard for me to reconcile that with the fact that they might believe in the story of Joseph Smith finding golden plates in upstate New York, or in the case of Scientology, the bizarro story of Lord Xenu and body thetans. But anyway, the encounter between Brandon Flowers and Richard Dawkins was kind of cringe-inducing and left me feeling somewhat bad for the Killers' frontman. I'll actually play the clip now.
Isn't it also, when you listen to Brandon here explaining what's for him the beauty of religion, the beauty of believing, isn't this a profound need we have, like a genetic need?
I think there may well be a profound need to understand, and the satisfaction that you get from genuine understanding, which comes from science, is so much greater. I mean, there is far more beauty in a real understanding of the reality of nature than there is in reading some ancient book, or than reading some modern book, which is what the Book of Mormon is. And I have to say that when I read the Book of Mormon recently, I didn't read it all, what impressed me was that it's an obvious fake. I mean, this is a 19th century book written in 16th century English, and it came to pass, verily I say unto you, and things like that. That's not the way people talked in the 19th century. It's a fake. So it's not beautiful. It's a work of charlatanry.
You're free to answer.
The book's been studied and torn apart and looked at. And I'm not one of the professors that have done it.
But do you believe?
And for you to call this man a charlatan, I do. I take offense to it.
And he was a convicted charlatan. No, he was a convicted con man.
No, these are all falses. You should do your research.
Well, I think I have.
Yeah, you have.
Look, we've almost read the book.
Different information.
Okay, so maybe I don't feel that bad for Brandon Flowers after all. But I think Richard Dawkins, who I greatly admire, he's one of my intellectual heroes, was actually being a little rude there. Instead of taking a more measured and civil approach, he just leans right in, looks Flowers in the face, and suggests that his religion is a bunch of BS, which I agree it is, but he probably could have handled it more tactfully. And I know I'm just providing you with the audio, but if you watch it online, Brandon Flowers looks really kind of freaked out and uncomfortable. It's like watching a train wreck. A good point someone else brought up was that if Dawkins was going to take the gloves off and go for the jugular anyway, he should have at least used a better argument than a kind of weak criticism regarding what type of English the book was written in. He could have brought up the shady story of the golden plates, or better yet, the ridiculous claim that the Native Americans are descended from ancient Israelites, and how modern DNA evidence completely debunks that. Honestly, I don't know how much either one of them knew about what they were getting into. Brandon Flowers seems totally blindsided when all of a sudden they bring Richard Dawkins on. And Richard Dawkins thought, it seemed like he thought they were going to be engaging in a full-length interview, and he was a little surprised when Flowers, shortly after that, was kind of saved by the bell and they took him off so he could play with his band. That might be why Dawkins didn't bring up more convincing evidence. But I have decided that even though Brandon Flowers is a Mormon, I'm still going to listen to The Killers. I know, big of me, right? If you're a regular listener to the show, then you're probably aware of my love of Christmas music, and I've been listening to the Mormon Tabernacle Choir for years, so why not The Killers, right? Still haven't listened to Beck, though, since finding out he's a Scientologist. Oh well. With that being said, this has been The Week in Doubt, and as always, you can like the show on the Facebook page. You can also get in touch with me through the Facebook page if you'd like to leave a comment. You can review or subscribe to the show through iTunes or Podbean, and you can go to the Week in Doubt YouTube channel to check out some of my uploads, and any support is greatly appreciated. Thank you.